Rolls it down the wall. What a goal!
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Rawlcast this week, the 16th of December 2013. As always, I'm joined on my right by Dave Stewart.
Hi, guys.
And on my left by Adam Coleman.
Hello.
This week, we will be having a look at the Wellington Phoenix game, having a look through to our only home game of December, the Newcastle Jets game. We'll have a look at the W League, the NYL, and of course get to your usual segments, quick fire five, and round it out with some tips.
A segment so popular that even Matt O'Keen must be a keen aficionado of the quick fire five. Yeah. We know you're watching, Matt. We know. Don't lie.
Yeah.
I want some royalties now, Matt. Some royalties.
Or at least Lucy Zelich's phone number.
Yeah. No, if you thought that you could get away with it, you're wrong. We're on to you. We watch that.
We may not watch Thursday FC, but we're on to you.
Yalla. All right. good. Wellington Phoenix, 2-1 win. Two penalties given in the match. One successful, one not. No red cards.
Yeah.
Three goals. Kind of a topsy-turvy match in Wellington, really.
Yeah, a bit scrappy, but it was
weird.
Yeah, it was another good grinding win away from home. I think that's starting to become our modus operandi. I think when we're at Suncorp, we try to bring out the flair, but as soon as we hit the road, we knuckle down, put in that extra effort, and in this case, we've come out again with the 3 points.
Are we getting known for our grinding wins, do you think?
I think away from home, absolutely. And you look at the last few weeks.
Maybe we should put a profile up on Grindr then. Get it?
Yes, I get the joke, Chad.
Hang on, are we sure this isn't Thursday FC?
Yeah.
No?
Are you Matt Icon?
No, sure. I think with Adam probably playing locks, he's Lucy.
Clearly, I'm David Bashir. Everyone knows that.
Yes, clearly. As we're saying, it's they've started to just grind out wins away from home to kind of just, and they've let other teams kind of take the initiative a little bit at the start as well. If you look at Adelaide game the other week and the Wellington game this week, both the home sides have had fairly significant periods of time with the ball and really kind of threatened their goal to the point where Apton and this week Theo have had to have good games, like good solid games, and really stand up for us to secure the points.
And those first 20 minutes were certainly all about Phoenix. They played fantastic in that first 20. You could see what Merrick is trying to bring out in them. And there was a few times that they really went close. They managed to push all the way through the back line and just having Theo to beat. And they could have gone up one or two very early in the piece.
Absolutely. It kind of was that game. Like, I wouldn't say it was as bad as the very first game of the season, the first time we played in Wellington, where we really just threw it out of the fire. But it was, Wellington, I don't know, it's exactly the same thing with Hart, and it's exactly the same thing with Wellington. I don't feel they're as bad as they reflect on the table.
Absolutely.
Like, I think I said that maybe last week and that, and I had kind of a bit of laughter directed at me because of, they're having a win or whatever.
Yeah.
But apologies about that, just a technical issue there. But as I was saying, it was Wellington and the Heart always kind of,
they've reasonable games, so they're not picking up the points.
Yeah, that's it. So I guess kind of following on from that, let's talk about the goals. And before we do that, we'll have a look at the clip of the goals. Now, does our clip of the goals include the missed penalty?
It includes the penalties and everything in there.
And it includes zero Acton saves this week. We need to be sure.
No Acton saves this week.
No Acton saves this week. Now, I'll call that before. Okay. All right. Thank you. All right, let's discuss the kind of the notable points of the game, the two notable points being the penalty.
Well, the penalties.
What I was referring to, the penalties, I should have said, yeah. Let's start with the first penalty, which was Kenny Cunningham's theatrics in the box. Yeah. Dave, what was your take on it?
It was, It was probably as bad as Ngai a few weeks ago, except obviously Ngai didn't get a penalty for it.
At least there was contact with Ngai.
He reached out and got the contact on Bush. But
it was, I think, Cunningham.
I think there must have been a Wellington breeze just blew him over, and that was about it. It was the fact the referee's fallen for it again is something that that needs to be reviewed, and I hope that the match review panel actually pulls him up on it, because obviously there's no sanction for Cunningham. They obviously got a penalty. They obviously scored from it, so the decision directly affected the outcome of the game, even if it was, you know, we ended up still winning. It changed the complexion of the game and how both teams approached from that point going forward. So I hope the referees looked at for that particular incident to actually, you know, makes the correct call in that situation, but also Cunningham is actually reprimanded, because that was disgraceful. That's the second time in about 3 weeks we've had someone fall over no contact.
Yep.
Even the commentator, and you could hear in the clip there, the commentators haven't said themselves there was nothing there. He's won a penalty from no contact.
Yep, basically. Adam, I won't get your thoughts on the penalty simply because, not to be offensive to you, but there's nothing that either of us are going to say that's going to
be any different.
To Dave, do you think the match review panel should have a look at it?
Well, I don't know. Is that part of their powers? Can they?
Wasn't Ronaldo done for it?
I think I've heard this week that if it results in a penalty, regardless of whether it's scored or not, it can be looked at.
Yeah,
that's what I understand is the case. Whether or not that's accurate or not, I don't understand,
and let's just go away from this. I don't understand if everyone's serious about, and this goes for FIFA, but not only A-League, I guess particularly the A-League, because the climate of sports culture here particularly clamps down hard on the diving aspect of football.
Or simulation.
Simulation, yeah.
So like similar things in rugby league when people, you know, pretend to be held down in tackles for 1 second too long, you can kind of see they've manipulated their way, you know, a jump hold here or there.
And that's the kind of thing. But if we talk a little bit more than that, I think, and tell me if you agree or not, that the match review panel should be able to look at any incident over the field of play where they feel that an act of simulation might have taken place.
I think if the referee hasn't done anything about it at the time, I agree 100%. And I think that's obviously where the match review panel draws its line at the moment, if the referee's dealt with it in whatever situation they're looking at.
When was the last time that you ever saw a yellow card being handed out for simulation in the A-League?
Been a while.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah. And it's that unmemorable that we can't even think of it.
And why shouldn't the extra bit be done with after the...
reason why it shouldn't be.
But, I mean, even if the ref has done it, has made it. I mean, if I punch you in the head in a game of football, not only am I going to get a red card, but I should also be expecting extra suspension plus a fine for violent conduct.
I think the difference between that and simulation is obviously pretty vast, but in the situation...
But that's the thing.
I agree 100% that they should have the powers to go back on any incident that hasn't been addressed by the referee.
But even if it has, that's my argument, is that even if it has, it should be able to be addressed by the MRP.
Yeah, because we've seen that with other sports. The ability of the match review panel to go above and beyond whatever a referee's decision on the day is.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think there's a bit of a chance that there could be, some decisions kind of arguably... not sure what I'm trying to say here. Some things that may be dealt with on the field come back and kind of work against. I don't know how they would deal with that would it just be suspensions if something happened on the field, referees dealt with it, and what they go on and suspend the player.
Well, see, that's the thing. What I would like to see, if we're serious about getting simulation out, it has to be, in my mind, threefold. It has to be a penalty to the player who's done it.
Yep.
So one match, two match suspension maybe. Mm. It needs to be a physical penalty towards the player. Say his, maybe not the match fee, but...
percentage thereof.
But see, even a little bit more than that. That's what I mean. I'm talking more than the match fee.
Fee plus a percentage.
Yeah, I'm talking like, maybe like $5,000. Mm. And when people get... whacked $5,000 in the A-League, they're going to know about it.
Yeah.
And a financial penalty to the club.
Mm.
You know, and that's going to be...
And then follow the policy that are done in a lot of American leagues, which is whatever fines or sanctions are levied at clubs, that money goes back into a pool that is used to educate those clubs again. So that the money isn't just going towards...
Sounds good.
My concern, and I agree 100% in being able to deal with something in retrospect. My concern is if something's been dealt with on the field, does that create some sort of a conflict? I don't know if conflict of interest is the right word, but some sort of a conflict in that process down the line, because negating the referee's authority, so that's the best way to put it, because he's already done something on the field, and then the match review panel saying, well, your decision was almost right. It was, you decided a yellow card, but we think it should have been a red card.
Not at all, because that's like saying that Jacob Burns, who was he sent off on the time that he
well, there's a situation with him on replay.
Yeah, exactly.
Where he simulated being hit, where he clearly wasn't, and Enrique was sent off for a fight.
My point is though, in that situation, say the referee's given Jacob Burns a yellow card, does the match review panel come back?
What was the incident with Jacob Burns a few weeks ago? Because he got 2 games out for violent conduct.
And he came over the top of someone.
Yeah, and I can't remember what actually
he stamped
happened
on. He stamped on...
Was it yellow? Was it red?
I don't think it was anything.
Yeah, exactly.
He stamped on Central Coast player's arm or hand.
Yep.
And the Central Coast player got up and pushed and shoved. He got the yellow card. Burns got nothing. I think that's the reason why match review panel was able to come in. And I was just thinking...
And the thing with that is that I just want to argue against your point, is that he probably got a financial thing. I'm not 100% sure, but he definitely got 2 games out. Would that not undermine the referee as well?
Not necessarily, because the referee hasn't done anything in regards to Jacob Burns.
Exactly the same. But, I mean, even if he got a red, he should still be looked at again.
What I'm saying is if Jacob Burns had been given a yellow card in that instance, for example, the match review panel would not have done anything. And I'm thinking if they had have done anything, that maybe, although it may not have been the right decision at the time, it still undermines the referee's role. And the referees could be, you know what, if we're going to make a decision and then you're going to override it, then that...
I don't think that, because there's howlers that takes place. I mean, you look at the World Cup, you know, in 06, you know, with the whole kind of debacle with the 3 yellow cards and things like that against Croatia. You know, we see it in other leagues where there's not a suspension given out, or if something's gone really awry, extra judicial action takes place.
Well, tell you
what,
I'd like to throw this out as a broadcast reaction then.
Yep.
Should the match review panel be able to review any incident in the A-League?
Any incident.
Whether it's dealt with by the referees or not, and issue sanctions accordingly.
Yep.
It's interesting. I'd like to hear what our viewers would think about that.
There you go. All right. We'll leave that there and we'll just move on. Let's go to the second penalty, which was the only deserved penalty of the game. And the only undeserved penalty miss of the game, I guess you would say. Berisha lined it up, swing, and
right down the middle, and Moss just happened to swing back at the last minute and tap it back in,
and it wasn't the greatest
of penalties, to be fair. No, it wasn't. I mean, if he's going to get on the middle, he'd go right down the middle.
Yeah, correct. What did you think about it?
Well, I said it wasn't the greatest of penalties, but well done to Moss to get a hand on it. Mackay tried to make the most of it with the rebound and put that wide as well. So really, in all honesty, probably 2 good missed opportunities in the space of about 2 seconds.
And at that point, it happened in the game. I think there was a bit of worry sort of going around whether we'd come out of the game, maybe even with a point at all. You just sort of felt maybe the luck isn't falling our way, with Cunningham getting a penalty that shouldn't have, and then us being unable to convert ours.
Yep.
So.
And, of course, that penalty was kind of sandwiched in the middle for the Brisbane Roar goals after Matty Smith's bit of a kerfuffle and a bit of a tap-in, wasn't it?
Well, he did well to get on the other side of his
Benny
Sigmund was late to react, and Matt Smith just got on the right side of him and held him off and...
Held his nerve and...
Got it in the back corner.
Really whole lot to say about this. And potentially goal of the round... I didn't watch the other game, so I can't really say it, but I'm biased, so I can say. Yeah. Goal of the round. Definitely goal of the game. Definitely in the contender for the Brisbane Roar. Goal of the year. Very nice shot.
Cracking shot.
Not a whole lot of power. good placement. So it's not a whole lot.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly. It's just all placement and Moss was just left sort of rooted to his line almost.
Yeah, nice curve on it. Nice curve. It's
a beautiful goal.
Well, let me say about it. Yeah. And that's the thing is that we can't really say much. Chelsea kind of just played out with that. We had the majority of the possession. We, funnily enough, didn't have the majority of the shots, nor did we have them on target. Mm. But
once again, we dominated possession, 57-43.
Exactly. So. A shocking statistic there, though, was the corners. Hmm. Wellington Phoenix 10 to Brisbane Roar 1.
I think that just shows how Wellington's when they had possession, what they did with it, they went on the attack. And obviously they had less possession, they had 43% of possession, but they had 15 shots and 8 on target, so that would suggest 7 saves, 7 of which may well have just gone straight over the crossbar if it was as a push around or whatever.
They also had a similar amount of offsides, but more offsides. So corners and offsides for mine really kind of give out a nice production rate for attacking
efficiency,
things like that. Efficiency was the one that I was like, efficacy, my word. So good on Wellington, but better for the Brisbane Roar.
And Ivan Frentich now having scored more winners at Westpac Stadium than Wellington Phoenix.
Yeah. There you go. And rolling on to the only December home
and
game.
And we should also say as well, and congratulations to all the Roar fans who flew over for that Wellington game.
James,
a good selection. Ashwin,
Mr. Pot Plant.
Roar 36, whoever you are.
Zach.
36, Zach.
That king, yeah.
Yeah.
Who else?
That's all I know. But everyone else that was there, congratulations for making the trip. And
make sure you bring us back plenty of duty free. That's all we're asking. Just one big bottle. You can decide what it is. That'll be our Christmas.
There we go. And Brisbane, Newcastle, Friday, 7pm kickoff, 2012-13. Mm. Yeah.
A few days after Bon Jovi.
Yeah. Yay. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. I thought it was only going to be the Taylor Swift concert, but it's the Taylor Swift concert.
That's
and,
that. Of
and of interest, did anyone see the Sydney Heart game on the Sunday? Because it also had a Taylor Swift concert played on it a few days before.
I feel bad for them then.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Should I send a sympathy card?
It wasn't that bad, but, you know, we're copping two concerts.
And I believe they're Bon relaying the pitch, aren't they, straight after the Bon Jovi concert?
They should wander.
They're relaying it, So
Is it the only summer concert, those two?
And that's those two,
it? But still, they're relaying it just a few days later. They're playing a game of football on it. That doesn't necessarily conduct it.
Keep in mind, we do have the Eminem concert in February. I think that's it. But then that's it for concerts at Suncorp, hopefully for a damn long while.
Yeah.
Cool. Mm. So this game, we'll get to the predictions later, but what do you think is going to happen, Adam?
Well, I can tell you what's going to happen is that, unfortunately, I'm not going to be there because I'm going to be at my work Christmas party, which is a shame because when the draw came out at the beginning of the season, I sort of looked at, this fixture. And normally, the Jets coming to town really isn't an intriguing one. But Newcastle have had a very interesting start to the season.
To lose two in a row.
Well, they have now, yeah. So I suppose now we're at that point of, I don't know if this could be a season-defining game for the Jets. Are they as good as their early form has stated? Where they went, I think it was 6 or 7 games unbeaten, and they were getting some pretty good wins and getting good production.
Did they go 6 or 7 games unbeaten, really?
Yeah.
I don't think it was that long, was it?
No, I think the first 2 games they couldn't pick up a point, and then it was just a whole series of wins and draws.
They did, that's right. They did have a lot of wins and draws, yes.
Newcastle, for a team that I predicted Gary Vedingwalt would be the first coach out, they've performed above expectations, but they now need to show if they really are in that, I would say, to be a contender come end of season, teams will need to sit around the top 4. This is a tricky game for Newcastle, but statistically, Newcastle have always done well at Suncorp.
Yep. Dave?
Yeah, pretty much that. Newcastle, like you said, they're coming off the back of two losses, but I don't think it's going to really affect them too much. They're a young side, and they'll keep running whatever's in front of them, basically. So, as you've seen with the poor start, going into a good period of time in the middle of the season so far. So, I think we've got to really keep an eye on Target, because, obviously, he can go on a bit of a goal-scoring run.
Heskey's back in.
So...
I'm sure if Zajkovic has the ball at the halfway line, he'll take a shot. That seems to be his thing.
Yeah, so watch out.
These stupid
watch
long out speculators everyone. That do nothing.
So watch out, everyone, in the 15th row of the den for those ones.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it could be an interesting one. And I honestly think Brisbane will win this still. I don't think that... as we mentioned beforehand, Brisbane play with a bit more flair and a bit more fluency at home.
Yeah.
And the loss to Newcastle a few weeks back
is going to fire them up something shocking.
Well, that too.
They're going to want revenge.
Also, conditions will be very different.
Mm.
You know, we're not going to have...
Well, even with the new pitch, I still think it'll be way better than that bogmire that was...
Absolutely. Yeah.
Osgrid Stadium.
Yeah, well, at least we'll know that there's not going to be any spot where the ball just stops because of water or slows down to a tenth of its speed.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to have a difference, going to have an impact, and I think the game will be better for it as well, because that game in Newcastle was dire to watch.
Yeah. Yep, there we go. Moving on to the news. The fan forum is Wednesday, the 18th of the 12th, 13th. So what's that? Wednesday night.
It's Wednesday at 6 p.m.
Normanby at 6 p.m. My question that I want you to answer in a sentence is: why does the Brisbane Roar think that it's acceptable to hold these fan forums with a week or less than notice, particularly this one, at a week to Christmas?
I don't know.
There is no justification. That's why, ladies and gentlemen, it's a piss poor effort from the Brisbane Roar management, and I'm quite angry about it. You know, if they had have given 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks notice, they would perhaps have some real productivity at this. I don't honestly see what there is to be gained from this. I can't think of any real pressing issues with the fans at the moment.
Well, it would make more sense. I can understand it as a follow-up for maybe the last fan forum.
Yeah.
But I don't see why doing it a week before Christmas is ideal. Because at the end of the day...
And I don't see with the amount... Like, I think the key stakeholders should be consulted with this. So why don't you ask those people, if it is going to be a follow-up, when they would like to hold it?
Mm.
You know? That's a thing. Mm. Anyway, we won't talk any more about it.
But if you want to go to it, make sure you get on there and...
You need a ticket. So make sure you get a ticket for it. Adelaide won National W League, by the way. Di Bartolo, 73rd minute, defeated Brisbane Roar, 0. And with Alloway, with a fifth-minute red card, and that was at
Cusack.
That was,
and that was on TV, wasn't it? I believe.
Sure.
You were.
Yeah, I think no, so. I was on a plane.
Yep. So there you go. I think it was. So moving on from that. Commiserations.
That's Adelaide's only their fifth or sixth win.
Yep.
Ever since the W League started.
Yeah. Traditionally, they've been the
been the whipping girls.
Yep. There you go.
Leave it at that.
And the next W League game is home to Sydney FC at Perry Park on Sunday, December the 22nd.
That would be at Elise Perry Park. Kickoff.
Yep, that's it. The National Youth League drew with the AIS 4-all. Smith, 8-minute, Marino, 27th, Ocheng, 48th, and Jackson with an own goal for AIS. And Alton Doug on the 23rd and the 72nd, Hoare on the 13th, and Borello on the 80th. The next National Youth League game is home to the Jets at Goodwin Park in Yeronga on Saturday, December the 21st, with a 2 p.m. kickoff.
Would have been an interesting game to see that one, actually.
Mm. Yeah, it would have been.
And so obviously it's good if you're a Roar fan this weekend, all three teams at home. So for those who get to go to all three, have a good
separate
time.
Days too. One on Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yep.
There you go.
Make a week of it, weekend of it.
May as well just move straight on to the Quick Fire 5.
Sure thing.
Proudly supported by Matt O'Keane of Thursday FC.
Yeah, O'Keane. I'm watching you.
Yeah.
I'm watching you.
Your show, just you.
Yeah, just you. This first one's from Ash Wynn. So thanks for sending this one in, Ash, during your travels in New Zealand. Do you think that Ivan Franich, and I should point out, Ivan Franich, it was mentioned today in a report that Ivan Franich had injections for an abdominal injury, I believe it was.
Mm.
So do you think Ivan is risking long-term injury in a World Cup spot by getting injections to play? Slightly amended question from Ash there, but what would you say, Adam?
No, I don't believe that's the way at all. Teams have injury management, and sometimes it doesn't require matches being taken off and rest as such. A simple injection can provide the body with the stability to still be a professional athlete at full capacity.
Okay. No, Australia is a world leader in sports medicine. We need to trust them.
Great. I don't think there's a risk of a long-term injury.
I would say that there's more of a risk of a long-term injury there, but I wouldn't say it's much to be concerned about.
Okay. Yeah,
I think if that long-term injury was to take place, then yes, it would risk his World Cup spot, but like you mentioned, sports sciences have come a long way, and this country is a world leader in it.
So. And it helps us as well, the fact that they're only playing one game a week.
Yeah.
So he's got enough time to naturally rest and recover.
I don't think Mulvey would really risk him in that situation if it was going to be a case of a long-term injury may result in it. There are other options to play on the right wing to cover that. The fourth one from Christopher Bogoski. It's been a while since we heard from you, Chris, so thanks a lot. Is there any team in the competition so far that looks like they've hit fifth gear, or top gear, I suppose, is what he's saying? Chad?
No, I think we'll see it in the last little bit of the season when teams really start kicking it.
Great, Adam.
The only team I've really seen having bursts of playing at the full potential has been Melbourne Victory, but it tends to be sort of late in the second half of games. Wanderers have been consistent, but not great. Mariners have been hot and cold, and you could say that of pretty much every other team in the competition, and Melbourne Heart have just been unfortunate.
I think there's one team that we've seen their top gear, and that's Melbourne Heart, and I'm sad to say that, because that means they're going to be at the bottom of the table the whole year. I don't think that they're anything special, and, I mean, we've seen Harry Kuehl come in now, and he's provided a bit of a difference, a bit of extra oomph for him, but I don't see him doing anything. Question number three. How long do you think it'll take to hit our best and start to dominate teams with big wins rather than scraping through with the points? Adam. This one from Sam Walker.
I'm definitely thinking the second half of the year. I think once we sort of round that halfway bend and we start looking at those last 13 games, that's when Mulvey will say, okay, well, here's where you're positioned, here's what you've got to do. And maybe there might be another sort of final kick in the pants once the ACL begins. Once he starts, you know, pointing out, look, these other teams are there. If you guys now put in this one final effort, you know, let's get the Premier's plate, let's get that top two spot.
So middle of the season and Champions League time, basically.
Cool. So I think I could see two periods there.
Chad?
I agree with everything Adam said.
I think Champions League time is probably the key time for us when we really start hitting our straps and that'll lead well into the finals.
And, of course, with the March Socceroos friendly, that would be a perfect case for a Matty Mackay or a Franich to go above and beyond.
Absolutely. The fourth question, this one's from Alexander Ryan. Thanks, Alex. With Puma's contract running out with the Roar at the end of the season, do you think there will be another jersey for next season rather than keeping it the traditional two seasons? Chad?
Yes, I do, and I think that is an excellent question for someone to bring up at the fan forum.
Right, Adam.
Well, it stands to reason, irrespective of whom is our jersey supplier for next year, there's money to be made. Obviously, certain companies will give us certain jersey templates, and I'd be surprised if we, even if we kept Puma, I would be surprised if we kept that same style for another season. It just seems to be the way and means of world football nowadays.
Yeah, I agree. I think we'll end up having a new kit, and
I'd like to see a different kit supplier for what it's worth.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a different kit supplier myself.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's even if we do keep Puma, I don't think we'll get the same kit, even though it's not even changed this year.
Yep.
There you go. Fifth question, and the final one from Warwick Betts. Thanks, Warwick. With a few players playing through the pain barrier, would you rest these players over the next three matches? And if so, which matches in particular would you be resting these players in? I'll go first with this one, just to give you guys a bit of chance to think about it.
Yeah.
I think if we're going to rest any players, first of all, no, I don't think we'll rest any of the players. I think these next three matches are probably as important as any other because we're playing three teams that are really jostling for second through to sixth. And to keep ahead of them is imperative, so I don't think we'll rest any of them. I think if we're going to rest anyone, it's going to be around about the time we play Melbourne Heart at home again or Wellington at home. Chad?
Yep. I don't think we should rest anyone, considering we've just got Miller back and we're probably going to get Steph back pretty soon and all of that. I think we're in a good spot.
Yeah, I don't believe in resting players outright. I don't mind if perhaps they want to rotate maybe certain players off the bench, give them 30-minute cameos. But keep in mind, we are about to hit the January transfer window, so maybe if we want to give players, you know, less time on the field, maybe Mulvey might make a strategic transfer purchase, which may allow for some of those overstretched players a chance to lessen the workload if necessary.
I don't know how much they'd be overstretched, though. It's not like we're in England playing 40-odd games a season, plus FA Cups, plus League Cups, and this, that, and whatever.
Yeah, and playing in exceptionally cold weather, which isn't necessarily the best for
exactly.
muscles.
Exactly. In Australia where, like I said, it's a lot warmer, there's less chance of those sorts of injuries, but also we're playing a much shorter season, which and we're not playing two games a week or three games a week like some of those teams would be, even if they're in the lower leagues of England, you know, trying to fit almost 50 games in a year.
Good. Excellent. Let's move on to the predictions. So last week, I believe Adam got up with the victory.
With the victory one.
I think everyone got up with that. Everyone scored with the victory win.
Oh, yeah, did we?
We did.
Yeah.
Everyone got a point.
Cool. And then did we all get a point for Saturday as well?
No one got points for Saturday.
Took the result, even though I'm very, very close.
Excuse that was my telephone just then. So if you heard Mario, then I apologise for that. So no one got tips for that. Adam,
Although when they were 1-1, I was like, oh, I'm going to be the worst person in the world, but.
Adam, what are your tips for this Friday night's game?
My tip is a 2-1 win to the Brisbane Roar.
And who's the first scorer?
Ooh, I didn't think of that. I'm going to be lazy and just go Berisha.
Yep. Adam, same question.
My name's David.
David. I always just do that. I always do it with you, never Adam. Sorry, Dave.
Do I not have a David-looking face?
It's my bald head and sunglasses and my glasses that does it. Yeah.
And superior intellect.
Yeah, clearly, yeah. I'm picking 3-1 to the Brisbane Roar.
Yep.
I'm going to go with a bit of a roughie for first goals. I'm going to say Corey Brown.
Yep. I'm going to go.
I thought you were going to say Theo for a second.
Not that rough.
A bit of a keeper run, you know.
I'm going to go 3-0 Brisbane Berisha first goal scorer.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what I'm going to do.
Everyone else, make sure you put your predictions up on our Facebook as well. And
see
how you guys go against us and
interact with us.
General feedback, general conversation. Get us talking. Get you guys talking.
It's always good. And we'll post the Rawcast reaction on the Facebook to get your kind of thoughts through the week on what it should be. And we'll review those next week.
Yeah, cool.
Sounds good. Excellent. Anyway, guys, thank you very much for joining us once again. Notable mentions to everybody who says hello to us at the pub, Matt, Teague, and everyone who likes the Rawcast. There you go. And Matt O'Kine, honourable mention to you too.
Now, of course, don't forget, if you want to be involved with all the various discussions, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Rawcast, where you can like us. We're almost up to 250 people. That's pretty impressive.
Awesome.
And don't forget also as well, if you want to always get the YouTube show every week, go to our channel, youtube.com/Rawcast. Where you could subscribe, and that way then every time this episode is uploaded, you can be the first to find out about it.
Yep, and of course, we're always still available on Jellycast. See the Facebook for details on that. Might get you to like it. Anyway, my name's Chad Friend. I've been joined on my right by Dave Stewart.
See you guys.
And on my left by Dave Stewart, I mean Adam Coleman.
See you next time, Dave Stewart.
I equalised it up there. Good day.
Good day.